Well, the question in legal talk today is, are you looking after your will with as much careful attention to detail as you've looked after all of these kitchen appliances over the years? And specifically, are you making sure that you update it when it is necessary to do so? Yeah, it's something that far too many people, I think, do once and forget about. Well, I've written a will, that's fine. My wishes are clear and everything's okay. But there are actually a couple of follow-up questions you need to be continually, regularly asking yourself. Do I need to update this will? Have my life circumstances changed to change the implications of some of the things I stated in an earlier edition? And is it being kept safely somewhere where people know where to find it? They might seem like pretty obvious questions, but apparently they are questions that a lot of people overlook. And that is why we have with us on the line today Alison de Jesus, who is an in-house attorney at BDO Wealth, that wants to flag a couple of examples and recent rulings that highlight some of these questions. Alison, it's great to have you with us. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Pippa. Thank you for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. One of the things that's been flagged in our correspondence with you is the fact that a lot of people don't act fast enough to update their wills after a marriage has ended in divorce. Alison, I believe there is actually a specific provision in the Wills Act that comes into play here that a lot of people don't know about. Won't you explain for us?
Yes, that's right, Pippa. So Section 2 of the Wills Act creates a 3-month grace period. So if you die within 3 months after a divorce, the law assumes that your former spouse has predeceased you, unless the will expressly states otherwise. So if you survive beyond the 3-month period and fail to amend your will, your ex-spouse may still inherit under the existing will, but the law does.
Sorry, Alison, that line is crackling terribly and I'm struggling to follow you, which means our listeners will no doubt be struggling as well. I'm going to put you back to my producer and just see if we can try and redial and get better clarity of line, because it is a struggle to follow. And that is not ideal for a radio conversation. Apologies for that. We'll try and ring Alison back. I think let's end the call and rather phone back and get a better connection, hopefully second time round, so that we can hear her without that little crackle breakup that is happening all of the time. It might be a signal issue as well, but we'll try and sort it out. In the meantime, if you've got questions around wills and particularly around the issue of updating wills and keeping them stored in a place where they can be found and where people know to find them, please do send a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Let's try again and see if we've got a better line this time round with Alison. Sorry about that. Alison, I think for the purposes of clarity, could you just start again with that answer, please? You were referencing a specific provision in the Wills Act that has something to do with 3 months after divorce. Let's start there again.
Yes, sorry about that. So it's Section 2B of the Wills Act, and it creates a 3-month grace period after divorce. So if you die within the 3 months of a divorce, the law assumes that your former spouse has predeceased you, unless the will expressly states otherwise. So if you survive beyond the 3-month period and fail to amend your will, your ex-spouse may still inherit under the existing circumstances, under the existing will.
Okay, so in other words, you need to act fast if you want to shift things after a divorce in terms of what happens in your will. I'm sure it's not only in the case of divorce. Alison, are there other particular life circumstances and common events that you'd like to flag that should precipitate a relook at your will?
Yes, so after every major life event, you should have a look at your will and amend it, mostly after you've had children, after you've gotten married, if there's a death in the family, if you acquire new assets, acquire a business. So all of those major life moments require a review of your will.
Okay. Do you recommend that people sort of take it out and check it over on a regular basis, Alison, or is it okay to leave it for when an ad hoc major life event has happened?
So maybe every 2 to 3 years, we recommend someone reviews their will. At BDO Wealth, we tell our clients yearly, we ask the question, you know, if they would like to make any changes. So it's always good to consider what's happened and any life events.
Okay. Somebody's just asking for clarity, going back to that divorce question. What happens after the 3 months have passed, they ask, if you haven't updated your will? Could you just clarify?
Yes. So after the 3 months, if you haven't updated your will, then your spouse or your ex-spouse will inherit if they are beneficiary in your will.
Okay, so if they were originally listed as a beneficiary, nothing will change until you change the will. Okay.
That's correct.
All right, thank you for that. So that three-month window is if you were intending to change it, but in the process, just the madness of settling the divorce, which we know can be a turbulent time, there is a three-month window of leeway granted. But after that, you need to get on with changing it. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, that's correct. So you should actually change it within the 3 months, and that's why the law gives you the 3 month grace period. So if anything happens to you within that 3 months, then they wouldn't inherit. But after that, then the law's seen that they've given you enough time, and then they would inherit.
Okay, thank you very much for that follow-up. Okay. Now, the other question which you wanted to flag is a totally different problem, but this is the question of what happens if someone dies and their original will can't be found. I believe there's been some recent court judgment on this which establishes the principle that's involved here. Alison, do you want to explain how we look at the issue if the original will can't be found? There might well be a copy in existence, but if the actual original signed document can't be found, what happens?
So if the original document can't be found, it's a court application in terms of Section 2.3 of the Wills Act, and you apply to court so that the court can decide if the copy can be accepted or not. And the courts are primarily concerned with giving effect to a person's true testamentary intentions. And if sufficient evidence exists to prove the contents of the will, then the court will allow for the copy to be accepted. And yes, there was a recent case in June of this year where the circumstances were that the original will was missing, and there was a later, an older will. They had the original, but that one was from 1998, and the one that was missing was from 2018. So the court then had to look at the document. Did the deceased intend for that will to be, you know, their will, or why was it missing? Did they want to revoke it? And there was evidence from witnesses that they attended signing, you know, the testator wanted that to be the final will, and they didn't have possession of it, so they hadn't revoked it. So the court was happy to tell the master to accept the copy as the valid will.
Okay, it's very interesting to hear this, how the courts look at the issue, Alison, because as you say, the outcome obviously is that you want the person's interests and wishes to be followed, but if it's not clear what those wishes were, this is when the thing becomes complicated. Now, here's an example of this. Charles says, my father doesn't have a will. He's already suffered a stroke a few years ago and is no longer considered of sound mind, so couldn't create one now. His speech is impaired. His ability to understand questions and make decisions is impaired. Is there any way to get around this situation? Alison, I mean, that's an incredibly complex portion. I mean, legally, that is somebody who is not in a position to be able to make what would be deemed a legally acceptable will. What happens in a case like that?
Yes, unfortunately, if you don't have mental capacity, it's seen as though you don't know what you're signing, so you unfortunately wouldn't be able to sign a will. So in a case like that, the estate would be interstate, so it would be in terms of the Interstate Succession Act. And normally what happens is your family would inherit. So if you're married, your spouse would inherit. If you have children and a spouse, the spouse and the children would inherit, and so forth. If you don't have a spouse and you don't have children, then your parents would inherit, or your siblings, and that's how interstate succession works.
Okay. So, Charles, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that it's come to that situation, but I want to thank you for sending that question, because I think it very aptly demonstrates, Alison, how important it is to get this done sooner rather than later. A lot of people put it off thinking, ugh, that's something I'll do further down the line, or they think I don't need a will because I don't own a lot of stuff. Young people in particular might be tempted to say it's not necessary to have one. I'm renting property. All I own is my laptop and the clothes on my back, kind of thing. But Charles' position does demonstrate why it's better to do it sooner rather than later, doesn't it?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay. Linda writes, the firm of attorneys we made our original will with disappeared without a trace. We thought our will was safely lodged with an attorney firm, and it wasn't. We have now made a new will with a new firm, so all is fine. But there's another example of the importance of checking and following up. Alison, I mean, nobody expects the attorney firm to disappear that you'd lodged your will with. What would you recommend in a case like that?
So we always recommend at Video Wealth, we always give the client an original copy, and we keep an original copy in our safe custody. So if anything had to happen, then the client always has an original with them as well, which they can then review.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense as well. You know, you never know, God forbid, a house fire or something like that destroys all the documentation. You at least know there's a copy safely lodged somewhere else that can be retrieved. Alison, in terms of being able to find said copy, though, that's half the battle. If you haven't adequately explained to your future beneficiaries where they'll find a copy of the will, anything you'd like to say to our listeners today about having that conversation with your loved ones?
Yes, so we always say that the client should keep a copy of the will, the original, as we provide them with one. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a last checklist that we give our clients with a list of documents that they should keep with the will. And those are documents that will obviously be needed for your estate once you've passed away, and that the family doesn't really have access to. So so you should keep your will and then the documents. An example of those documents would be an original copy of a certified copy of your ID, a certified copy of marriage certificate, if you have an antenuptial contract, a copy of that, pension details, medical aid statements. So all those documents, and then you should keep them in a file, and you should let your family know where they could find that file.
Okay. And I know there are various booklets and apps that can help you keep all of that information in one place, in a secure place. And of course, it's just important to make sure that the person who will need to access all of that information knows where to find it when the time comes. A question from Anonymous. Is there any truth to what they've heard that if you are choosing a child to be an executor of your will, it has to be a child who resides in South Africa?
Yes. Foreign executors are allowed by the master, but it can become complicated where the master then will request a bond of security. And they don't really like to appoint foreign executors. So we always rather say that a South African should be the executor and not a foreigner.
Okay, so it's not completely impossible, but it's not the preferred method is what I'm hearing.
Yes, that's correct. So it might cause delays, and it's quite difficult to get a bond of security from, you know, if you're getting it in your own name, institutions would get it faster, but laypersons take a bit longer, so it can cause delays, especially if you're overseas, to get that bond of security. So yes, it's best to have a South African as an executor.
Okay, thank you. Ali wants to know, if you just want to change an executor of your will, do you need to redo it through a lawyer, or can you just rewrite the will yourself?
You can rewrite the will yourself as long as you comply with all the formalities. But yes, you can do it yourself.
Okay. What I want you to just remind us of what some of those key formalities are, Alison, that need to be in place in order for a will to be deemed valid.
Yes, of course. So the will needs to be in writing. The testator must be at least 16 years old and capable of understanding the nature and effect of what the will entails. They'll need to sign every page, and it needs to be signed in front of two competent witnesses. And those witnesses should be independent witnesses. They should not be beneficiaries in your will.
That last one is an important one. Who aren't beneficiaries of the will are required as the witnesses. Thank you for that. Okay. What are some of the other most common oversights or misinterpretations that, in your experience, Alison, people make when it comes to wills? If we have just 2 minutes left and key information you'd like to remind our listeners about, what would you flag?
That's a good question. So I guess one of the main misconceptions is that people think that, you know, only if you only need a will if you have lots of assets. But I think everyone should have a will, and you should let your family know where it is. You should know where the original is, and you should make sure you check it often. And you should also have those extra documents kept with your will.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon to run us through those pieces of very important information. Alison, an in-house attorney at BDO Wealth, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Pippa, and to all your listeners.
Keep well, please. Alison de Jesus, in-house attorney at BDO Wealth. Right, to take us